Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Love one another deeply. This session is entitled, The Command to Love One Another. And we've gone through about 10 sessions so far, talking about what it looks like to love. But what we're going to talk about today is, it's more than just the way of Christianity. It's more than just, an invitation. It's actually a command. And I don't know, for some reason, that idea changes things for me. That idea touches me in a different way. It says a lot, this command to love. So let's look at what we've got here. We got John 15, verse 17. Now, as we read this, I just want to remind us, Jesus is the word of life. Jesus' words give life. Jesus, the ambassador from heaven, is coming to communicate to us the priorities of the kingdom of God, is trying to instruct us in how we're to live. Jesus is teaching and giving the church and the people of God the tools that are needed for us to be able to live a life in godliness and fulfillment and fullness of purpose and all that. Jesus says these words, "This is my command, love each other." Now, I want us to think about this for a second, because when we start throwing around the word command and commandments, this is like intense. A command from a military officer isn't an option. It's not like, well, you know, I'm kind of not really in the mood to do that today. Like, that's not how that works. A command is a requirement. To hear that command is to obey that command. I mean, it is a response. It is a demanded, commanded response. And it's interesting that Jesus uses this terminology. He knew what he was doing. It's interesting that he uses this terminology to describe the subject of loving each other. He says, "I command you. I am the guy in charge. I'm God. I command you to do this." Like, I don't know. I don't know how it went that day. I don't know what the intonation was in his voice, voice fluctuation. I don't know if he stopped and got all sober and went, "I command you." I don't know. But the word is like really intense. So even if he said it with a cherry on top, it's like really an intense thing to say. He's talking to his dudes and he goes, "This is my command." I imagine them leaning in. They're hearing their rabbi. They're hearing the words of Jesus. He says, "This is my command. Love each other." So when you got the Ten Commandments, like, think of it in terms of that sort of level of intensity, okay? So in essence, Jesus is like, "Hey, you guys know the Ten Commandments, right?" Yeah, we know them. "Well, I got a new one for you to add to the list." "Really? Because only God could do that." "Yeah, I know. Wink, wink. I'm God." "Okay, you got an 11th? Uh-huh. What is this 11th command that's about to come out of your mouth? What are you about to say? "I command you to love each other." This is just so intense. I mean, the other ones are like, "Don't murder and stuff." It's like, we're supposed to not murder. I think we should all abide by that one. That's a good idea. On the list is, oh yeah, with the same level of intensity, "I command you to love each other." This isn't just an invitation or a good idea. Now, one thing that we know about his commands is his commands are good. His commands are wisdom. His commands are life and truth, and his commands are good. Let's just read a few of these verses talking about the commands of the Lord. Nehemiah 9:14, "You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good." The commands of the Lord are good. Good, therefore, are good. There have been so many times in my life since I've come to know the Lord that my idea of what is good and God's idea of what is good are the total, complete opposite idea. But as I've yielded to him, every single time I see the wisdom later. It may take some time, but I see the wisdom later. I go, this was so much better than my way. When you led me into this, when you said, do this, don't do this, your ways, it's wisdom. And so I just think about with the challenge, I mean, nobody would argue loving people is good. Like no one would go, no, it's not. But I think in our hearts is where we find challenge to actually do it and to put forth the appropriate amount of energy and all that is required to actually love people well. That's where the challenge comes. And it's like, we need to be going, your ways are good. Your commands are good. There is goodness and purpose. It is right. It is wisdom. When we do it your way, it's wisdom. You know, as a church, I just think probably one of the most important things that we can know how to do and be good at is learning to yield to his wisdom. Learning to yield. To not think of ourselves as God. To not think of ourselves as sovereign and able to make decisions. To not think of ourselves as my way and what I want and what I think and what I desire is right and that's what I'm gonna do. That's the arrogance of a prideful man or woman. And it's so normal for us in our core, so we gotta fight that. And so this morning as we're talking about the commands of the Lord and specifically this command to love one another, it's good. We've gotta think of it from this standpoint. When I don't feel like loving you is still right, and it will wisdom will be proved right by your children. When I don't feel like loving you, when I feel irritated, when I feel weak, when I feel unable, when I feel just so depleted, and I don't feel. Don't feel like loving, love is the right answer still. And that when we choose that, when we make that decision, it is good. Just a couple more verses are already up on the screen. Psalm 112:1. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and who find great delight in his commands. What if we could get to a point where we were looking at this command that Jesus gave to love one another, and instead of being fearful of it, instead of being resentful of it, I don't think any of us would be resentful loudly and like get a t-shirt that says, I resent Jesus's words to love you. I don't think we'd get that t-shirt. But I think in our minds, in our hearts, with a smile that we've put on our face, but it's not how we're feeling behind our eyes, I think there are times where we might be resentful of that command to love. But what if instead we could go, no, I want to learn to delight. I want to learn to delight in loving you. Lord, help me. What if we turned it into prayer? Lord, help me to delight in loving those around me. And specifically, the ones that are irritating me. Specifically, the ones that I'm having a hard time with. Specifically, the one that's irritated with me, whatever that might be, whatever those circumstances are. Because again, love's kind of easy when we're all excited about it. It's a wee-gooey feeling. But that's not really, that's not love in a reaching sense. That's love at the surface level. And surface level love is good, it's better than nothing, but real love is, I'm actually really mad at you right now, and I'm going to love you like I'm not. I'm gonna choose to express love to you because it's good and it's right. In fact, I delight in this opportunity to love you though I don't want to. I delight in your command, Lord. Your command, this demand, you could call it that, the demand to love the one you don't feel like loving right now. What a wisdom of Jesus. Like what a way to run a kingdom. Kingdoms are typically run on fear, or they're run on finance, or they're run on the promise of freedom. Kingdoms are normally run by those principles. Jesus runs his kingdom on love. says, I want you to love God, and then I command you, like God loves you, I command you to love each other. I command you. It is not an option. Commanded to love one another. And Jesus, just thinking about like the beautiful version of the kingdom that Jesus is building, because he's not building mostly a military empire or a, you know, a financial institution. He's mostly building a family. And when my kids are getting at each other, I am frequently like, hey, y'all need to quit it and figure out a way to love each other, apologize to each other, and get over it and go play. Because that's what families do. You get over it. I'm not saying you weren't mad about the dumb thing a minute ago. You were really mad. And the thing you were mad about was really pretty dumb. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying get over it, love each other, and go play. And Jesus is like, in a similar manner, he's speaking to the body of Christ. He goes, go play. He says, get over it, forgive each other, love each other, and go play. Be the family. Don't be distracted. Don't be all knotted up and upset about whatever thing. That's light and momentary. That's a passing thing. You know what's going to be forever? The family of God. Love each other. I command you. This is the way we're going to run the kingdom. I command you to love each other. Work out your nonsense. I command you to love. Whew. It's really intense. I don't know. Sometimes we talk about Jesus as pastor. Right now I'm seeing Jesus as like Papa. He's like, he's saying how the family works. He's saying, I command you to love one another on the day you don't want to the person that's got you the most ticked. I command you to love that person. I was really thinking I could maybe just love everybody else. Forget everybody else for today. Let's go ahead and do the lost sheep. He goes after the one. Go after the one that's mad at you, you're mad at them. Go love them right now. What about everybody else? Everybody else will be fine. We need to work on that one. Let's figure out how to love, and I command you to do it. It's not an option. So intense, Papa Jesus. It's not just a what, but it's a who. Let's put that verse back up, the John 15, 17. It was the first verse. This is my command, love each other. Well, the what is love. The who is very helpful. Each other. Each other requires relationship. Each other requires proximity. We've kind of talked about some of these things. But this is a command for you. You are commanded by the Lord to love the ones around you that you know, that you've got relationship with. It's actually easy to love a person you don't know very well from afar. I bless you. You send them a letter. You send them a dollar. You send them a biscuit. I mean, it's like, bless you. You're great. And they're like, I feel so loved. It's like, great, because we haven't entered into any relational tension yet. Because you don't know me well enough to know how jacked up I am on a Tuesday. And when I really have the opportunity to rub you wrong and, oh, do you rub me wrong? That's true love. That's where love gets pressed. That's where love gets fleshed out. And that's, Jesus is not saying, love all the people out there you've never met. Love the random stranger. Do all that stuff too. He's saying, I want you to love the one that knows you well enough to know how wrong you are inside. I want you to love each other. Love the ones in your small group. Love the ones in this church family. Love the ones at arm's length. The each other requires relational proximity, because you would never lump yourself together with a group of believers you've never met and never interact with. Jesus says, I've put you together with people, and I want you to love each other, not just want, I command you to do it. Golly. So intense. We're supposed to be a people that are about love. I appreciate the particular flavor, the particular assignments that the Lord has given us as a congregation to build night-day prayer, to be a family, to do discipleship in small groups, to be a people that serve. I appreciate those things. But overarching, over all of them, we're supposed to be about love. We're commanded by the Lord to be a people committed to love. You probably heard the quote. I don't know who said it. I'm probably going to say it wrong. But you'll know what I mean, and then just pretend I said it right. They may not remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. Just think about that. It's like, there's so many people who I have walked away, because I think about this quote on occasion, and I think about it and I'm like, how true it is that I remember the last time I was with this person and I had all these warm, ooey, gooey feelings. What'd you talk about? Haven't a clue. Well, how do you know it was good? They just made me feel great, man. I don't know. I like them. Then there's also people like, oh, I remember the last conversation we had. I had ungooey feelings when I walked away. Ungooey, with shards and sharp spikes in the ungooey. What'd you talk about? Something about baseball. I don't remember what it was. Well, what was so bad about it? They made me feel bad. And we may not remember all the words, but we do remember how people make us feel. Isn't that real? Kind of assess that for a second. Do fact check that for a few conversations you've had in the last week or so. Like, man, was it mostly, think about this one. Oh, please hear me. Was it mostly important about what they said? Or was it mostly important how you felt when you walked away? Oh, no. Because I think we're so bent on saying stuff. I got stuff to say today. And I'm going to say my stuff, and you will be the victim of my stuff saying. It's like, well, what if instead of having that sort of an agenda, what if our agenda was, I have love to express, and I'm going to do my best to make you feel loved. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to try to communicate some things. But honestly, if we walk away and you're not as clear on the communication, but you're super clear that I love you, we live to play another day. And we'll have that conversation again, and maybe next time I'll say it clearer. But what if you just walked away feeling loved? I command you to love each other, Jesus said. I command you to do this. What if our interactions were mostly about making that person feel loved and not even necessarily getting the point across? Again, we could have a whole series on communication. That's also a valuable part of the kingdom. But today, just allow me to go this direction. That we would be a people about love. What if a visitor came in on a Sunday morning and they go home and their friend, their mom, their neighbor, their whatever, their dog says, hey, how was church this morning? And they go, it was awesome. Go, why? What'd they preach on? That weird guy, I don't know what he said. It was making no sense to me at all. How was it good? I just felt so loved. When I was there, I felt the love of God, not because of a sermon, not even because of the anointing in worship. I'm hopeful that there is an anointing in worship. I'm hopeful that these messages touch you. But what if the primary takeaway was just being in the midst of this people? They felt loved. We're supposed to be a people about love. That's really supposed to be the main MO. That would be such a beautiful testimony from heaven that when people came into our midst, without being provoked, without having to fill out a survey later that we were, you know, dropping hints of what kind of answers we wanted them to give, they were just in their heart, they were like, that church loves well. Those people know how to love. What a testimony. It probably won't happen on accident. You know, you have to be intentional about the commandments. You have to be intentional. I've never committed murder, but there have been a few times that I've really had to be intentional to not commit murder. There's times where we've got to be intentional to love, and it's not our default thought or feeling or emotion or what that day would normally call for. But that the Lord's command to us is that we would love. They may not remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. Man, think about that. Think about the conversation you know you failed on. Don't beat yourself up. We're going to get out of the hole here in just a second. Think about the conversation you know you failed on. And by the way, this counts as a conversation. You say a lot with your eyes. I mean, that's a whole conversation. So think about one of those you failed. I mean, you made them feel unloved, un-ooey gooey. All right? Let's not do that anymore. Let's go repent to that person. Repentance is beautiful. 1 John 1:9 says that if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all ungooey, of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us of the emotions of that sin, to cleanse us of everything related to that sin. When we repent to somebody, it doesn't just build in some accountability, which it does do that. That's helpful in the natural. It actually cleanses us and even cleanses the relationship. It washes over them. It washes over us. Love covers over a multitude of sins. When we repent to one another, there is beauty in that. Let's look at those moments that we've done it wrong and just go, I don't want to do that anymore. And I certainly don't want to do that and then leave it unresolved. So in my weakness, I'm probably going to do that. I don't want to. I'm going to commit to not. But when I do, when those moments occur, I don't want to leave it with that little tension over here with that person, a little tension over there, that little side look over there, and this little comment over here. I want to love you. I've been commanded to do that. What if instead we stopped thinking about this as optional? I think we have bought a big old fib. Here's the fib. Loving your brother, loving your sister is optional. If you feel like it, do it. I mean, if you're a good Christian, do it. What about if you're a saved person with a pulse? What about if you're anybody with ears to hear and eyes to see what the Word of God says and a spirit to discern? I command you to love each other. I think we've got this wrong. I think we've thought it was optional. That's kind of an intense idea, but I mean, did you not love this week at some point? Did you think you could get by with that? Did you think it was optional? Probably so. We're a hot mess. We're far from the truth. It's not an option. It's a command from Jesus. But it's a command laced with wisdom. It's a command out of the voice, out of the mouth of the wisest, most gentle, most looking out for your good and their good. One of the things in this series that has been a recurring theme for me is I mean, these sermons are so hard because I have to think about all the ways I'm doing it wrong before I come and preach it to you. You know, I can't just get up here and like live in total hypocrisy, right? So all week long is just like stabbing myself, okay? So I can get up here and preach. One of the things that has just been a recurring, conversation in my mind throughout this series is the idea that in the scenario where two people are mad at each other or sad at each other or ignoring each other or irritated with one another, it's not mad, it's just they bug me. Two people, and both of them love Jesus. Here's the thing I keep having over and over in my mind. One of them goes home. Okay, this one's me. And so it's you, you're the person over here, and I'm this one. I go home and I go, God, they're like so messed up. They've got all these issues, and like why are you letting them do this to me? Don't you love me? And then here's it's like 2 miles away. They're at their house. God, they're so messed up. Like, I know you love me, but like, why did you make them? Like, they're bad. And the Lord's like, you're both my children. Quit being stupid. Love each other. I keep seeing it. I'm like, every time I've got a complaint against somebody, I'm just imagining this picture. They're at home talking to the same father I'm talking about, and God is not like more on their side than on mine or more on my side than theirs. He really likes them. And he sees the way that you communicated poorly to them. He sees the way that you didn't hold your tongue, you didn't hold your emotions, or you didn't show them the honor that they deserved. He's as concerned about their plea as he is about yours. It's so funny. We've got such an individual version of God that it's like, well, he's my God, but he's not yours. I mean, so when you do me wrong, just know my father's coming after you. He's like, father's coming after you too, dumb. You had fault in that situation. I didn't say anything. Do you remember the look you gave them? You said 10 times more with the look than they said with their words. Oh, well, I didn't give a look. You ignored them for weeks. You pretended they didn't exist. In your mind, you had murdered them. They were gone. They were dead to you. You didn't do them wrong. You killed them in your mind. You just got them blipped off the earth. They didn't exist because you ignored them. Was that love? I'm just like, oh man, we've made it optional. We've made love optional, and it's not. It's not. It's not okay. I want to be honest about it. I want to get to a point where it's like, Lord, every time I show unlove, every time I don't deal with love, every time I don't deal with you in love, tell me about it so that I don't keep walking around constantly going, me and my God and my rights, and never thinking about you and your God and your rights. Like, show me, check me, God, check me. And I have found myself shutting up more with the Lord. Be like, day, and I was like, oh, they're over there at their house right now talking about me. Lord, you know what? Just listen to them right now. Just like, help them with me. Like, and then whatever they're praying, like, sanctify it and then bring it back and help me. I have found myself shutting up because I'm just like, I ain't got nothing to say about you, because I know right now God is just as on your side as he is on mine. This command to love one another. You know what I really want out of this session? I want that word command to bug us. That's what I want. That's why I said it like 72 times, times five. I want that word command to mess with us a little bit and go, this is not an optional thing. This is how Christianity is. This is what God is after. John 13:34, a new command I give you. There it is again, a command. Love one another. You know, there's like 8 to 10 times just in the New Testament that the word command is used related to this command to love. So it's not like it's just mentioned once or twice. I mean, it's like an abundance of times, multiple times. Commanded to love you, and you're commanded to love me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be just real honest. I need you to love me. I need that. I need it. I need your forgiveness. I need your tenderness. I need your encouragement. I need you to love me. I'm not so insecure as to be able to say that. Like, it's part of the way God wired me. It's how he wired you. It's part of the way God wired me is to need you to love me. To need that. To get that kind of affection from you. And you need me to love you. And you need those around you to love you. And the only way this works is if we're all pretty giving and receiving of that love. This side point. Not receiving someone's love is unlove. Even if they're giving you love in a way that doesn't necessarily serve you the way you like, they give you a pie with pecans and you're allergic to nuts. Praise them for the pecan pie, because they were loving you. They just loved you in a way that didn't exactly serve you the way you needed to be served. But not receiving that. I reject your pecan pie, you numpty. Don't you know? I got an allergy. You could cause me to wind up in some sort of epileptic shock or something. That's unlove. When those are loving you, we got to receive. So this issue of giving love is significant, but it's also about receiving love, because we can actually mess up the equation when someone's trying to love us and we don't receive it. They praise you in a way that isn't really how you like to hear it. They are going out of their way to show you love and affection. They're trying to help you. They're there for you in a way that's like, you can tell they're trying and you don't receive it. You give no mention to it. Again, you just ignore it. Love scorned. Oh, man, this is tricky. And Jesus is like, I know it's tricky. It's going to take you a life, a whole life to figure this out. And I command you to go on this journey. This is your lot as someone that claims to love Christ. You have been commanded to love each other. A new command I give you, love one another. It's a new focus. I'm hearing it. So many times we read the Bible and some phrase or some verse that's always been in there. It's not like God added something to the Bible last week, but some verse or some phrase all of a sudden just jumps off the page and you're like, dang, I never saw that before. I'll be darned, that's in there. That's in the Bible. I've been kind of feeling that about this. And Jesus, even with relationship to this new command, I think it's just like, how about a new life focus? I mean, the whole law was wrapped up in love. But what if we just had a new life focus, and the way this new command was touching us was, it's like, you know what? In 2023, and as we head into the next year, I'm going to make my life about loving people. I am not going to call this optional. I'm not going to leave it on the sideline. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to be thinking about, and it's constant lessons. It's constant lessons. You tried to love somebody today. It didn't go over well. Don't abandon ship. Fix the problem. I tried to love you this way. You didn't receive that. Tomorrow, I'm going to come back at it from this direction. Good. Now we're learning the way of love. Now we're walking in love. Like, that's good. That's healthy. Don't abandon ship when it doesn't go well. I tried today. It didn't work. So I'm going to go back to being a Grinch. It's like, no, don't abandon ship. Come on. Keep loving. This is going to take us a lifetime to figure out. But we've got this opportunity. And just imagine this. Like, how much easier is it for us as a person in this congregation to go on this journey in a congregation that's getting preached at every week, love? Right? That's a lot easier context than if you were in some other context. Because then you might be the only one trying to experiment with the idea. But here we're all in it together. I want us touched by this. That Jesus gives this command to have a new life focus, that we would love each other. I'll say it this way. We've been commanded to figure this out. I don't think I've got it figured out. I'm betting you probably feel the same way. But what if we took as part of the exhortation, part of the command from heaven, not just love, that's kind of the, that's the goal. That's what we're reaching for. What if the journey counts too? What if we've been commanded to figure this out? And if figuring it out is sitting there and playing with the Lego pieces until you can find the right way to fit it? What if we've been commanded to figure this out? We have been. And I want to do it. And I want to do it with you. I want us on a journey together, that as a congregation, we would be trying to figure out, what does this look like to love?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.